Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben on the Tyranny Response Network, the second day of the 11th week of our broadcast. So glad you joined us this morning and hope that we can help you think better as we consider some of the key issues of the day. Before we get started today, I wanted to make a quick announcement that the 2005 Southern History Conference is going to be held here in Greenville, South Carolina from April 4th through 7th at the at a Spanish-speaking church, Iglesia de Algo, no sé. That means a church of some name, some Spanish name, off of White Oak Road, which is off of North Pleasantburg Drive if you go north off of Wade Hampton Boulevard. We'll have more specific directions later on. Should be a great conference. Admission is free. Starts at 7 o'clock on April the 4th. Be sure to attend the Southern History Conference. The featured speaker will be Pastor John Weaver, a great Christian Reconstructionist Baptist, who'll be talking on the character of Robert E. Lee, as well as the story of Washington's Klan, who are the rebels, so to speak, and the Palmyra Massacre. We'll also have the next night Pastor Carl Robbins, who will be speaking on R.L. Dabney, a social conservative. Dr. Morton H. Smith, the former stated clerk of the Presbyterian Church in America, will be speaking on the 5th at 7 p.m. He's also at Greenville Theological Seminary, Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. He'll be talking on the influence of Benjamin Morgan Palmer and the Confederate cause. On April 6th at 7 p.m., we'll have Dr. Joseph Pipa, who is the president of that Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary, talking on the character of Stonewall Jackson. And finally, on April 7th at 7 p.m., we'll have Dr. Nick Wilborn from Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary talking about the life and ministry of John L. Girardo. So be sure to attend. Admission is free. Should be just fascinating and interesting to listen to all of that information. It's currently 49 degrees in Greenville. Going to rise only to 54 degrees today as clouds start moving in. We're expecting some pretty heavy thunderstorm activity in the afternoon today. And this evening, it's really going to get severe. Apparently, there's a chance of isolated tornadoes in the evening, large damaging hail, and high winds. So be aware of that as the day progresses. Tomorrow is more of the same. Also want to remind you folks that my columns are published every week in the Times Examiner. The Times Examiner is a great upstate South Carolina newspaper. You can get a copy of the Times Examiner by calling 864-268-0576. That's 864-268-0576. And just ask for Bob or Laverl. And either of these folks, these fine folks, can get you set up on an annual subscription for just $20 a year in-state and $22 a year out-of-state. It's a great bargain that can hardly pay the postage, I think, for sending out a great newspaper like this every week for that price. The price will be going up $5 a month starting on April 1st, so be sure to give a call over to Bob or Laverl today, 864-268-0576 for the Times Examiner. You can also stop by 44 East Pine Knoll Drive in Greenville and pick up a copy at the newsstand out in front, or go right on in and meet some of the staff there at the Times Examiner. Why is the Times Examiner so special? Well, the Times Examiner carries important columnists, and there are no liberal columnists at all. You have some hardcore true conservatives. You have some neocons as well, and you have some pro-life libertarians like yours truly, the Tyranny Response Unit. All these can be found in the Times Examiner. Some examples would be Dr. Stephen Yates and of course me, Dr. John Coben. There are two pro-life libertarians in the group. Other folks like Ben Graydon, Walter Williams, Thomas Sowell, Phyllis Schlafly, Pat Buchanan, Joe Sobrand, Charlie Reese. All of these people can be read on a weekly basis, great columnists, for your reading pleasure and enjoyment. It's a great opportunity to get a hold of something that's useful for you and help you think better. My column, I mentioned that word neocon. Recently, my most recent column in the Times Examiner, and it's also published in Free Market News and elsewhere, is entitled, What is a Neoconservative? If you don't know what a neoconservative is, I encourage you to take 5 minutes and go onto the web and find my articles under policyofliberty.net, www.policyofliberty.net, and take a look at this article called What is a Neoconservative? It'll give you an idea of what exactly this term means, thrown around so well today. Basically, a neoconservative is a liberal in conservative clothing. It is a person who loves the idea or loves the person of Ronald Reagan as a political figure, but also has the same adoration for Franklin Delano Roosevelt and Woodrow Wilson or Abraham Lincoln, especially Abraham Lincoln. So this is the kind of person that a neoconservative is, and if you want more details about that, by all means, take a look at that article, What is a Neoconservative? In coming weeks, you're going to see appearing a series from me entitled Christian Views on Rebellion. Christian Views on Rebellion, or we might better say Christian Views on Resistance. Remember, the words rebellion, resistance, or civil disobedience are the flip side of the same coin. When the Patriots in America went against King George, they were considered rebels by the king and Parliament, and many preachers, Tories here, and by preachers in London or in England. But they considered themselves to be freedom fighters. They considered themselves to be patriots, serving the Lord and resisting evil so that they could obey God instead. So although the same action is occurring, one person considers a person to be a rebel, other person just thinks he's resisting evil and tyranny, and is in fact just merely disobeying men so that he might obey God instead. So bear that in mind when you're thinking about the title of this this series. I go through a lot of the American founders' arguments and thinking and actions and try to decide, well, is this really wrong, what they did? Some people say, for instance, the Divine Right camp, that to disobey authority or rebellion against authority is rebellion against God, as one preacher where I go to church recently said. Another person has said, if it's illegal, it's sin. Another person has said, even when they have called the show, if you remember, Juliet had called some time ago and basically said, if something is proposed, you don't have to listen and obey. But once it becomes law, once the bill passes, you're obligated as a Christian to obey. And if you don't obey, the implication is that you sinned. And maybe Juliet would like to call and talk about that some more today. But anyway, this view, what is popularly known as the Divine Right view, it was also called the Tory view back at the time of the founding of America, at the American War for Independence. Again, if you're a Tory, you would call it American Revolution. If you're one who believes you did the right thing in resisting the tyrant, you would call it the American War for Independence. Flip side of the same, two sides of the same coin. At any rate, very interesting series of articles, I think, and you'll enjoy them. A little bit deeper thinking than you'll normally find in the normally current events-driven Times Examiner magazine. But hey, we're here at Christian Worldview in this ministry, this outreach, to help you think better, to help you improve your understanding of the Bible, to help you improve your understanding of what the Founding Fathers held, and to help you decide whether or not you can respond to public policy in ways that are currently not that popular. The church used to be widely in support of revolution, widely in support of resistance to the king, rebellion, if you will. This was the church in the 1770s. Massive numbers of Christians joined the ranks of the army, Continental Army, to fight against King George, the sovereign king, which was over them. Were they in sin or not? These articles try to answer that question, and I think do a decent job of making enough of a case, I suppose, to say that indeed they were not sinning when they did this thing. The American Revolution was not a wrongful act. It was not, as one preacher said, well, God works through the actions of sinful men to bring about his good purposes and cause. It was not merely a slip-up that God blessed any rate. it was indeed God's will for people of good character and good Christian upbringing and good purpose to serve the Lord by attacking and rebelling against the sovereign, rebelling or revolting or resisting the king that was placed over them, who was a tyrant. Also brings up some interesting implications for how we might act with respect to George W. Bush or any other American president. Why would it be any different today if it was indeed the case back at the time of the Founding Father? So please go online to www.policyofliberty.net. Have a look at this series under the articles link, articles and papers link, called Christian Views on Rebellion. It's a 7-part series. You'll have a sneak preview of what will be coming into the Times Examiner over the next 7 weeks, and we'd encourage you to have a look there. If you have a comment on those articles after you read them, please, by all means, call the show and let's discuss it. 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be right back.
Warning: Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
The people never give up their liberties, but under some delusion. Edmund Burke.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is, non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NP Pros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, P-R-O-S as in professionals, your non-profit professionals, that's nppros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
In Common Sense, Thomas Paine writes, "Could we take off the dark covering of antiquity pertaining to the origin of kings and of the state and trace them to their first rise, we should find the first of them nothing better than the principal ruffian of some restless gang, whose savage manners or preeminence subtly obtained him the title of chief among plunderers, and who by increasing in power and extending his depredations overawed the quiet and defenseless to purchase their safety by frequent contributions."
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
And we're back here on Christian Worldview. Welcome to the show. Glad you're listening this morning. Hope you can think a little bit better this morning, a little bit deeper. I know it's early to be thinking, but here's an opportunity to do so. We want to give you every opportunity to engage your brain rather than turn on the typical blather we find here and there. At any rate, on the airwaves out there, there is nothing quite like the Tyranny Response Network, and there is certainly nothing like Christian Worldview, and we're very glad that you're able to join us this morning and appreciate, hopefully, the liberty-loving attitude and remarks and thinking, clear thinking, that we have here on this program. We want to go right away to the phones here this morning. We have a caller, and we'd like to welcome you to the show. Who am I speaking with?
Good morning, this is Roy.
Hey, Roy, thanks for calling. What can I talk
about? How are you doing?
Good. What are you interested in talking about this morning?
Well, you were talking about the revolution, with King George and all. And last night we were driving out with the family, and my boy Josiah was telling me, reminding me and actually describing some things about how the fact is that we didn't rebel against the king. And, our Declaration of Independence was a declaration. It wasn't a usurpation or anything. And he was talking about, because I had brought him a book called, I think it's called The Revolution Myth.
Yeah.
Are you aware of that? Have you read that, Dr. Coben?
No, I haven't. Go ahead and tell us about it.
Well, it's a fascinating book, and my boy would probably do better off. But, you know, in the Declaration, it tells us that the king had abdicated his responsibilities. He was supposed to be protecting us, and there came a point where there was a document that, I'm not sure exactly which one it is, the Prohibitionary Act, I think, something like that. And what happened was that, you know, here we were always being taxed and everything, but there came a point where the king decided that no longer were the colonies his responsibility to protect us. And so, therefore, with him abdicating that role, it was very important for us to declare our independence and to say, we've got to have our own government. We've got to protect ourselves.
Well, this is
it's just one of those features. If anybody has some more information, I'd love for them to call in, and especially Ben Graydon, I think, is one who is really up on that issue, too.
Well, good. This is an interesting point, and I'm really glad you called in to bring it up, Roy. There are many reasons why people justify the American Revolution or the American War for Independence, depending on how you want to look at it, and for very good reason they're trying to justify it. And I would agree with all of those rationale for rebelling against the king or revolting or resisting the king, and what we see is that the king himself did not agree with the American founders. He did not look at them having the right to do what they did as a result of the abdication of his responsibilities, as he just did not do what the charters suggested he should do in giving them protection for their rights. So while we can say, indeed, well, we have these reasons, A, B, C, for why we're going to carry on our revolt here in America, the fact of the matter is the king was very clear that he thought that what they were doing was rebellious, and it was indeed fought about because the king did not agree with their particular opinion. Whether or not we can play semantical games again and say, look, this is really resistance, it's not rebellion. This is really disobedience, civil disobedience, and it's not rebellion. And I will agree that those were the proper terms to describe it. Still, the state, the one who was over the colonies, who was placed there by the sovereign lord, said, no, this is not to be done. This is rebellion against me. It should not carry forward. So anyway, I appreciate the call, Roy. I think we've lost you, it looks like, on the line here. Appreciate the call and discussing this morning. And it is indeed an important distinction to make. Remember, the most important thing for a Christian to discuss with regard to issues like rebellion is, what is our relationship to God in the matter? I mean, after all, our most important criteria for whether we should act or not act is whether or not God is glorified by what we do. And so in this particular case of the American Revolution, the issue is not so much whether the king thinks that we've rebelled or that we can justify what we've done as really resistance and not truly rebellion, but whether we are obeying God and glorifying God, edifying the church, and helping our own livelihoods, our own people, our own prosperity in this world as a matter of self-defense against predators, in our actions against the state of civil disobedience or resistance. That's the most important thing, and as long as that can be justified and made clear that we're glorifying God, that we're doing the right thing, then it really, in my opinion, doesn't make any difference what the king says. But I think we need to be careful not to just sweep it under the rug and say, well, it really wasn't a rebellion. It really wasn't revolt, because the vast majority of people in England and many people in America, including the king and all the governors in America, believe that it was a rebellion. And it sure looked like a rebellion. So we can call it anything we want. And to just simply declare our independence from somebody who's our state would not be looked upon favorably by them. Now, as far as we're concerned, the way we look at it, it was just resistance. It was obedience to God rather than men, and it was not only justifiable, it was the right thing to do. But let's be careful not to delude ourselves or deceive ourselves, in my view, in saying that, well, it really wasn't a rebellion, because, hey, frankly, it was, if from their point of view. Appreciate that call. Appreciate other people who want to call in and discuss this matter. And we're going to take a quick break here and be back in just a minute on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media. Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
We have the rights as individuals to give as much of our own money as we please to charity. But as members of Congress, we have no right so to appropriate a dollar of public money. Congressman Davy Crockett.
You're listening to the Tyranny Response Network. Go ahead, make your day.
The law of non-contradiction. The same thing cannot at the same time both belong and not belong to the same object and in the same respect. Aristotle.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And welcome back to Christian Worldview. Just thinking about this issue about revolution versus civil disobedience or resistance a little bit more. Imagine what would happen if we all stood up today and simply said to George Bush, as people did to Abraham Lincoln, we have a right to be free and sovereign people. Your rule is abusive over us, and we are simply not going to obey you or comply with your rules any longer. We are out the door. We're independent. We're going to be on our own. I mean, that's one of the goals of Christian Exodus, to be able to secede from the Union. It'd be a goal that I would have. It'd be wonderful if we could actually not have to be part of the corrupt United States of America as it's become, as far as their government is concerned. The state has become an intrusive blight on American liberty and prosperity, as it is controlled by northeastern and left coast interests, as well as some upper Midwest interests. I think it would be great to be able to secede. But you know what? If we stood up and started to walk out, they would call us a bunch of rebels, just in the same way that Lincoln inappropriately called the Southerners rebels when they wanted to leave. Jefferson is very clear in the Declaration of Independence that the American ideal is that if a government is not conducive to the ends for which it was established to protect us from predators, then it's our right to abolish that government and establish new government, which would indeed enhance our rights and liberties. So the ideals of Jefferson, the ideals of the founders, would not be well received today any more than they were well received in the 1770s by the King of England. It would still be considered an act of rebellion by them. Now, the more important thing to consider again is how God sees our actions. And if we simply go to the scriptures, we have to take into account that Paul says pretty clearly in Romans 13, verse 1, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, etc., etc. The Apostle Peter tells us something very similar: fear God, honor the king, and do not. And then other places in the Scripture, we are commanded, not commanded necessarily, but advised, perhaps, in the Book of Proverbs. When I say advised and not commanded, when you take a statement out of the Book of Proverbs, you have to be careful in how you interpret it. But Proverbs 24:21 says, do not associate with those given to change or those given towards revolution. Why? Because their calamity comes suddenly. And who knows what ruin those two things can bring. Well, if the scripture is advising you to beware of being a revolutionary, there's good reason for it. Even if it's not a direct command to never be involved in revolution, it's just saying in general, look, if you're a revolutionary, you might suffer capital punishment. You might be considered a traitor. Gamaliel, remember in Acts chapter 5, when he's giving counsel about the uprising started by Peter and John's preaching, he says, look, if this is from God, it'll stand, and if not, it won't. Remember Thaddeus, as well as Judas of Galilee, and this is Acts chapter 5, verses 34-35. He says, remember those folks when they rose up and their men. They were all killed by the civil authority, and the civil authority will probably put down these insurrectionists, these insubordinates. And so the scripture tells us, gives us a plain warning that if we're going to engage in revolutionary activities which are considered illegal and treasonous by the king or the local rulers, we may have to suffer the consequences for it. And the founding fathers were fully aware of that. If they were considered rebels, they were putting their necks on the line, literally. They pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor in order to do what they did. At any rate, it doesn't mean that you don't undertake such events or activities in order to procure more liberty, in order to make a better advance of the gospel. Preachers and theologians of the day in the 1770s, right after the Great Awakening, full of fervor, full of the Holy Spirit, and very clearly in a better situation, as far as I can tell, at any rate, as an amateur theologian, far better situation than the church and American Christianity is today. Those people determined with forthright vigor that they must go forth and attack King George, attack the Parliament, free themselves from the bonds, from the slavery, because they had the ability to do so. They had a shot at victory, and they were going to take it and take the king to task, and eventually they won. All sorts of conundrums come up, and enigmas and riddles and ethical dilemmas are caused by actors in the American Revolution. We think of Benedict Arnold. Was Benedict Arnold a traitor, a patriot, or both? Well, certainly to both sides, he was both things during the war, from 1775-ish on through 1779. He was a patriot, one of the greatest generals the American forces had. In fact, without Benedict Arnold, we would have not have been free today. We owe a lot to that man as Americans because of his ingenuity in fighting back the British, staving them off in the upstate of New York, and all those actions there, especially with Ethan Allen and others that he fought alongside with. When he was mocked by the Continental Congress, he got so frustrated with it, he eventually betrayed his country and became loyal to the former sovereign. In 1780, offered them, I believe it was West Point, and helped them with some places in Connecticut to defeat American forces, and was given in the generalship, I believe it was Major General, in the British Army. So was he being loyal to God the first time by rebelling against the king? Was he being or was he being a rebel and disobedient and much like Samuel said, guilty of the sin of witchcraft? On the other side of things, when he actually joined up with the British again, did then he show his repentance and become loyal to God and loyal to the civil authority? Or was the new authority that had declared independence then having the right over him? And he should have obeyed the new authority, even though they hadn't won the war yet. He was either sinning on both occasions, or sinning on neither occasions, or sinning on one and not the other. Benedict Arnold is an interesting figure in history, and from a Christian point of view, brings up a lot of enigmas for us, paradoxes perhaps, dilemmas, ethical dilemmas, on how we treat that particular figure. Our actions towards public policy have consequences. It's not entirely clear from simply the apostolic doctrine how they would have responded in our particular cultural context. They didn't have a Second Amendment. The Apostle Paul and the other Christians had no way to rise up against Rome, against Nero and his evils. They probably had little legal justification in their minds to do so, but then again, the colonists really had very little legal justification. The king was a sovereign monarch, and Parliament was sovereign over them and really could do as they pleased, in the same way that George Bush can do as he pleases in the Congress today over us with respect to their tax policies, with defense policies, and so on and so forth. What right do people have as Christians to simply decide they're going to revolt? This is the interesting question of the day for Christians, and how we submit to the state and what actions we can have towards public policy will depend on how we interpret those key passages in Romans 13, chapter 1 through 7, and 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. So ponder that a minute. Think about that for a minute, and perhaps in the next hour we'll have some more callers and discuss that very important issue about Christian rebellion, Christian response to the state. Have a look at those articles online, too, at policyofliberty.net under the Articles and Papers section. Go ahead down there, and you get a sneak preview of what's to come in my articles in the Times Examiner over the next 7 weeks. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back in just a minute.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Public schools will never excel because they lack intellectual capital and have to compensate for too many social problems. Daniel Golden.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Life, liberty, and property do not exist because men have made laws. On the contrary, it was the fact that life, liberty, and property existed beforehand that caused men to make laws in the first place. Frederick Bastiat.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of 6 homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
We welcome you back to Christian Worldview. This 11th week, the starting of the 11th week of the Tyranny Response Network's existence and the existence of Christian Worldview today. So glad you've joined us. Greenville, South Carolina, currently 49 degrees, going to get up only to a high of 54 degrees today. And in the afternoon, beware of some thunderstorm activities that are going to increase in intensity. And overnight, we even have a possibility of large damaging hail, high winds, and possibly a tornado. So anyway, we usually don't get the tornadoes. Sometimes they do touch down, though. Not too long ago, we had one down in Lawrence. And so beware of that heavy thunderstorm activity tonight. And as you go through your day, you may need to be protected from the rain towards the afternoon. I have a couple of interesting things to comment on quickly here. Unusually Stupid Americans. We read a little bit about this from this book frequently on the show. The production staff just loves this Unusually Stupid Americans book, a compendium of all American stupidity by Catherine Petrus and Roth Petrus. On page 42, it says, "What people know about the U.S. system of government." Seems very apropos, given what we're discussing right now on the air with this whole aspect of revolution in Romans 13 and other things regarding the American system. What people know about the U.S. system of government, perhaps we get what we deserve, they say. According to two different surveys, one conducted by the National Constitutional Center in September 1997 and another commissioned by Columbia Law School in May 2002, first of all, they say one of the findings is that one of the rights guaranteed by the First Amendment is freedom from fear. Smart folks. Secondly, the first 10 amendments are called the Pledge of Allegiance. Isn't that true? Aren't the first 10 amendments called the Pledge of Allegiance? You know, we just read the Bill of Rights one a day, as you recall, not too long ago here on this show, just to remind folks of what the Bill of Rights are all about. Those are the first 10 amendments, in case you were wondering. Norman Schwarzkopf is the commander-in-chief, is what people thought, even though constitutionally the president is, although there might be other powers behind him, which actually are the commander-in-chief that we just don't see. Another question for food for thought. Karl Marx's famous saying, "From each according to his ability, to each according to his needs," either was or may have been included in the Constitution. This was thought by nearly two-thirds of those polled. Well, the public school has done its job, apparently. Karl Marx is even now included in our Constitution. Fascinating stuff. Take heed, Americans. As long as we have this kind of ignorance, this appalling sort of ignorance, we're going to have no hope for success in reforming this nation. We have our famous guest on the line with us now, Ben Graydon, fellow columnist with the Times Examiner and great champion for homeschooling and liberty here in the upstate of South Carolina. Welcome to the show, Ben, and thanks for calling.
Good morning, Dr. Copen. How are you this morning?
Just fine, thank you.
Fantastic. Listen, I couldn't help but watch my ears perk up a little bit. You talked about one of my favorite subjects in the Declaration of Independence and so forth. I've written about this, and let me share a little bit from one of the columns that I've written recently. America was not birthed in rebellion, throwing off chains that were too constricting to a bunch of upstarts wanting to make their own way in the world. The signing of the Declaration of Independence, purportedly on July 4th, 1776, did not make America free and independent as a nation, but simply recognized what was already true. The American colonies had been ejected from the British Empire. On December 22nd, 1775, King George signed the American Prohibitory Act, prohibiting foreign trade with the American colonies, declaring them out of the protection of the crown, blockading their ports, and marking the colonists as foreign enemies. John Adams called it the Act of Independency and wrote that by it, quote, "The king, lords, and commons have united in sundering this country from that, I think, forever. It is a complete dismemberment of the British Empire. It throws 13 colonies out of the royal protection and makes us independent in spite of supplications and entreaties. It may be unfortunate that the Act of Independency should come from the British Parliament rather than from the American Congress, but it's very odd that Americans should hesitate at accepting such a gift from them." And I'd urge the listeners just to go out and do a little research on the American Prohibitory Act. It's not much found. You can find it if you do a little Google search. If you read down through the Declaration of Independence itself, you don't find in there the words of people that are trying to throw off something. These are people that had supplicated with their king. They said, you know, we're not seeking this thing, but here's what the king has done. You know, he's erected a multitude of new offices and sent hither swarms of officers to harass our people. He's combined with others to subject us to a jurisdiction foreign to our Constitution, and so forth. And all the things that you read about him were things that the king had done in violation of his own law. So, in fact, the king had severed the tie. The American colonists didn't do that. Another thing is we quite often misread, misunderstand Romans 13, where it says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers," because the higher powers is not speaking of every person who names himself an authority or who holds a public office. In fact, if you understand the foundation of America's government, that authority is held by one entity and one entity alone, and that is we the people. And if we the people are in violation, if we're in violation of Romans 13, where it says in verse 3, "Rulers are not a terror to good works but to the evil," God will hold us, particularly as Christian Americans, accountable for being violated of his rules, his standards for good government. It's not an issue that says simply we're to blindly submit ourselves to anybody who calls themselves government. So I think we need to look at things in context and get a good understanding of what God expects of us, and realize that we're not rebelling against God when we rebel or when we reject evil government, which God never asks us to do.
Well, these are tremendous comments, and I agree with some of them, and I don't with others, but this is excellent talk. Ben, can you hold on for just a second? We need to take a quick break, and when we come back from the break, if you can hang on, we'll have some discussion about this, and I know you have some other things you wanted to mention. Can you
Absolutely.
Hang on? All right. We'll be back in just a minute. This is Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
The people never give up their liberties, but under some delusion. Edmund Burke.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NP Pros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS as in professionals, your nonprofit professionals, that's nppros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.nppros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
In Common Sense, Thomas Paine writes, "Could we take off the dark covering of antiquity pertaining to the origin of kings and of the state and trace them to their first rise, we should find the first of them nothing better than the principal ruffian of some restless gang, whose savage manners or preeminence subtly obtained him the title of chief among plunderers, and who by increasing in power and extending his depredations overawed the quiet and defenseless to purchase their safety by frequent contributions."
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We have the famous Ben Graydon with us on the line, who's an excellent columnist. I encourage you to read Ben's column. He's always right on the money when it comes to conservative or libertarian issues. Also supported Michael Badnarik, as I did for the last presidential campaign. No, neither of us sinned by voting for George Bush. Sorry if you did, but you're realizing the folly of that now as you watch the man actually perform his craft. Ben and I also were involved in a debate against the Put Parents in Charge Act. We were able to see through this neoconservative activity trying to get us pull the wool over our eyes and get us a little more regulated as homeschoolers by offering a little carrot of a few hundred bucks a year for certain individuals. So I appreciate Ben's efforts there. We've been talking about the American Revolution or the American War for Independence, depending on which side of the coin you're on there. You'll call it either one of those particular names. I prefer the latter, and I'm sure Ben does as well. And whether or not the king abdicated his responsibilities and therefore gave us his independence, as John Adams says, in December of 1775. Now, there is another side to this story, and it's one that I would take, and perhaps I differ with Ben on this particular point, because when I look at history, I see the attack on the Gaspee by Abraham Whipple in 1772, as well as the Boston Tea Party of 1773, and the Lexington and Concord events in 1775 before this prohibitory act in December of 1775 being acts of rebellion as far as the king is concerned, and I think justifiable. I think there was civil disobedience and resistance that was called for and required those Americans, our founding fathers. Also, I have a different view of Romans chapter 13, and I'm going to let Ben get right back on here. I'm just giving my quick view here, by the way. Romans 13, to me, is not describing an idealized state where the state actually punishes those who God thinks are evil and rewards those who God thinks are good. As a matter of fact, it's quite the opposite. The words good and evil there refer to what government, that is, the civil ruler of the day, like the state run by Nero, define as good and evil. Paul was not out of his mind when he looked at Nero and said, look, there's a man burning Christians, impaling them on poles and burning them and lighting up his garden at night. Instead, this is an evil king who's not rewarding those who do good according to what God thinks is good, but rewarding the idolaters, adulterers, fornicators, murderers of his day, and instead killing those who he thinks do evil, namely Christians. And that's what governments do. They reward those who do evil according to their standard, not God's. And so, indeed, the governing authorities need to be opposed and resisted any time we possibly can, and when they are tyrants, because to do so is to achieve freedom, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 7:21. If you can be free, do it. 1 Corinthians 7:21-24. Now, having said those things, since Ben had a mouthful before, I want to turn it back over to Ben and see if he has any comments about what I just said or in support further of what he was saying earlier. So, Ben, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, John. Well, all those things notwithstanding in your comments about Romans 13 especially, even if you believe that it is speaking legitimately of a government authority, we have to stop and acknowledge that what the Declaration of Independence did, and this is a little-known fact. I think I talked about this when I did your show last week when you were out of town. What the Declaration of Independence did that had never been done before in human government was it captured the sovereignty that resided in the king, and it transmitted it to a new group called We the People. I get a little bit upset when I go to these patriot meetings and I read this stuff and somebody talks about I'm a patriot or I'm a sovereign. I'm a sovereign American. There is no such thing as individual sovereignty because we don't have a monarchy. However, we are part of a group collectively called We the People that is supposed to be sovereign because We the People wrote a constitution that gave us a government. So the government is to be our servant, not the other way around. And that doesn't mean that you've got the right to drive down the highway at 160 miles an hour in a 55 zone and be killing people. And when the police stop you, they rightfully should because you're endangering life to say, hey, I'm your boss. You can't touch me.
No, this is a great comment. I don't disagree at all. I think We the People did receive the sovereignty, and indeed we have a different cultural context than the apostles Paul or Peter could have ever imagined. The American experiment, as a so-called American experiment, is indeed great and different. So you're absolutely right about the We the People having the power.
So I'm not suggesting, John, that what we should do is that we should individually object to every law that we find objectionable and just say we're not going to obey this because we don't believe individually, because we don't have the right as individuals to make that decision. That's something that happens collectively as We the People. However, if we as Christians, as we as conservatives, if we as little L libertarians or big L libertarians, whatever, and I'm a little L libertarian, not a big L libertarian, even though I did support Michael Bednarik, he's a friend of mine, thank you. If we sit back and allow that to happen, if we don't jump in and take a hold of the reins of government and exercise our, not just our rights, but our responsibilities as part of that sovereign body called We the People to do what needs to be done to change the government, to make people aware of what's going on, then we, in fact, are in violation. I agree. You know, Romans 13 is not necessarily describing what a government ought to do. It's simply saying this is the way God ordained it. And we can't say that God ordained or God approves, as you so well do in your book, any government that's evil. Mm-hmm. That's not what God intended. But God does ordain for us to be under authority, and we are privileged in America to be part of a group, you know, a sovereign group called We the People. By the way, education's what I'm focused on, you know that.
Mm-hmm.
And I do try to get around and speak and teach and through my columns and so forth. We're having a seminar this Saturday. If I could take just a moment for a commercial interlude.
Sure.
I'm a seminar this Saturday for the local listeners at the Traveler's Rest branch of the library, and that'll be from 9:30 to 1. talking about money and wealth and being responsible for your own children's education. What's the difference between the rich and the middle class? How can you make your money work for you? How can you achieve, realistically, financial independence in 3 to 5 years? We'd love to have any listeners come out. It's a free seminar from 9:30 to 1 this weekend at the Travelers Host Library. And anybody can call me for more directions at 1-800-871-8651.
Do you also have an email address you can give them, Ben, in case they want to just jot that down and get some specifics from you that way?
I do. It's penben@bigplanet.com. That's pen like what you're looking at, Ben like my first name, at bigplanet.com.
Okay, super. Well, that's just excellent information. So if anyone's interested in attending the seminar, please do get in touch with Ben. Ben, we really appreciate the call this morning. It's been very thought-provoking, and always, your columns are thought-provoking, so I appreciated that, and I also appreciated you filling in for Christian Worldview some time ago. We look forward to having you back on the show again. We're coming up against a quick break, so we'll say goodbye to you for now, Ben, and if you have the unction again tomorrow or the next day or any other day, feel free, by all means, to call back and discuss some of these very important issues. Thanks for bringing them up.
My pleasure, and thank you.
Okay. This is Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Thank you for listening this morning. We're coming up against a quick break here, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media, Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
We have the rights as individuals to give as much of our own money as we please to charity. But as members of Congress, we have no right so to appropriate a dollar of public money. Congressman Davy Crockett.
You're listening to the Tyranny Response Network. Go ahead, make your day.
The law of non-contradiction. The same thing cannot at the same time both belong and not belong to the same object and in the same respect. Aristotle.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
Welcome back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you're listening to us this morning. Remember, if you're listening at any time besides 7:30 to 9 in the morning, weekdays, Monday through Friday, you are listening to a recorded broadcast. Glad that you are. The phone lines won't be working during that time, but you can send your emails to us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. Well, the research staff had a couple of things they pointed out to me, a couple of articles they sent up that were somewhat interesting. One of them thought this would be encouraging for listeners about the future of radio broadcasting. It says, "Sorry, Howard Stern. Goodbye, TIVO or TiVo." By Mike Rogers, and I'm not sure where the exact source is of this. Actually, they didn't send me that. But at any rate, off the internet somewhere, says, "Over the next 10 to 20 years, there will be a revolution in broadcasting so drastic that I believe TV sets will virtually disappear in American homes within the next 25 years. The in-home AM/FM radio has already gone the way of the 1950s shortwave, and within 15 years will become a curiosity. The future of broadcasting is definitely not in satellites." It doesn't matter. I'm skipping down through the article. It doesn't matter if we're talking about satellite radio, satellite TV, FM radio, or even multimedia TV, and all radio conglomerates such as Clear Channel. They all have decidedly a dim future, and there's not a thing they can do about it. There is high-definition DVD coming on the scene and some other things that are already happening that are exciting. In Japan, all the satellite TV stations, as well as FM stations, have begun to hit panic buttons, it says, interestingly enough. For the FM radio stations, things look even worse. Many new cars are coming out in Japan that do not even have FM tuners in them. And why should they? The cars are all equipped with GPS and are soon to be internet compatible. They are setting up themselves with broadband and internet stations. Recent surveys have shown that more and more people are gathering their news from the internet. Younger people have no problem with this at all. The older generation, who has the outdated and wasteful habit of feeling like they need to read a newspaper, watch TV news, will not change course. That maybe we should tell Bob Dill this at the Times Examiner so we can get the webpage more current and up-to-date. Maybe that would be the future there. I have one, but it's hard to get staff, I think, over there to update the webpage. At any rate, the entire mass media setup we have been used to for the last 50 years will come crashing down. We now have internet radio. The internet radio stations are exciting, and they are booming. In Japan, just about all of the cellular phone companies are launching their own internet-accessible radio stations and networks. And from what I understand, internet TV is just around the corner. I know someone who says that it's even doable now. The traditional stations are dinosaurs, and most of them don't even know it yet. The internet is the key. Internet news is destroying newspapers and helping big media TV destroy itself. Internet radio is here. Internet TV is just around the corner. And then it will be game over for the big media. This is very interesting news because for the Tyranny Response Network competing against the Clear Channels, the other conglomerates of run by the establishment in the United States, can indeed see the writing on the wall, or should see the writing on the wall, and we might indeed have these restrictions lifted and the other kinds of regulatory agencies not over us any longer, so that we might be able to go forward in pure freedom and proclaim the truth. And this bodes well for us, as people all over the world will eventually be able to find things like the Tyranny Response Network. That is exciting. There's a positive reason for change looming, and we appreciate the research staff bringing up this article to us. They also sent me a little article about the owls from theowlpages.com. It's Owl Page 8. No, owlpages.com. Tyranny Response Unit is having trouble reading, apparently, this calligraphy or whatever kind of font this is. At any rate, just FYI, owl influx leads to shooting incidents. For those of us who have who are environmentally sensitive, my pastor this last Sunday, who's a great guy and does a great job preaching in general, said something to the effect that he was a Christian environmentalist, or he appreciated the efforts of environmentalists. He also appreciated capitalists and free market guys, but he has a soft spot in his heart for environmentalists. Well, this one's for you. I don't have a soft spot in my heart for environmentalists, by the way. Not that I hate the environment. I just think that environmental movement is an ungodly, wicked sort of group that's based with a worldview that is based on Darwinism and not Christian principles. But at any rate, I'm not saying that the pastor of the church holds to those kinds of views. It's just that I think he may be mistaken at some points on his environmental support and not realizing where these people are coming from. But at any rate, be that as it may, owl influx leads to shooting incidents. Wildlife, and this is from GrandForks.com, also from theowlpages.com. A wildlife rehabilitation expert expects busy winter. Polaris pilots will help cause by flying injured birds to a raptor center, by Brad Docklin, the Herald staff writer, and that's in Grand Forks. Shooting the federally protected birds has been popular. An influx of great gray owls this winter in northwest Minnesota has resulted in at least one ugly incident of someone shooting the federally protected birds. According to Jeff Burcham, a conservation officer of the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources in Baudette, Minnesota, that's not only unethical, it's against the law. Shooting an owl, hawk, or any other raptor is a federal offense, punishable by a fine of up to $1,000, confiscation of the firearm, and restitution. Ooh, could be what, jail time, or maybe you have to stuff, I don't know, how do you give restitution for killing a bird protected? Anyway, Burcham says anyone who witnesses someone shooting an owl should contact DNR or other law enforcement authorities. Without the public's help, the odds of conservation officer catching someone are slim, he says. Well, that's good to know. Dead owls don't tell big tales, Burcham said. Well, I just love my research staff sending this sort of stuff to me. They know it just gets my heart pounding, blood pressure up. Burcham says the people he catches shooting great gray owls and other raptors believe they're protecting ruffed grouse. Nothing can be further from the truth, because great gray owls are mouse eaters. Don't think that they would get tired of mouse, or if they don't you think they would get tired of mouse, or if they're hungry, they would eat something else. Bertram said to have them shoot for whatever reason, shot for whatever reason, is just inexcusable. Could I shoot one? My producer, or one of my production staff said, could I shoot one if you went after my chickens and my mouse? Interesting. Well, we won't read all the rest of this article. It's just too amusing. But we should beware, folks. It's now illegal. It has been illegal to shoot owls in northwestern Minnesota. And if you do so, watch out. Your neighbors might be trying to find you and report you to DNR, the Department of Natural Resources for the state of Minnesota, so you can be fined, lose your firearm, probably have your firearm put on Arnold Schwarzenegger's should-be-banned list and sent to the U.S. Congress so that they can consider it for further banning. And you'll have to provide some kind of restitution. Maybe that means you, like, catch a bunch of sparrows and bring them to the zoo. I don't know. Any rate, folks, wacky environmentalists are at it again. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and don't adopt this non-Christian view that the environmentalists would have, that some bird is more important than human beings, or that we can go ahead and be forced to not shoot something that's violating our property rights because the government has decided some protected species. Don't you wish sometimes, oh, you really don't, but all the polar bears of the world, or lions, or whatever they are that are dangerous, would just invade the camp of some of these liberals in session when they're making some of these concoctions of laws or legislations. The Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We've come up against time for a break. We'll be back in just a minute.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Public schools will never excel because they lack intellectual capital and have to compensate for too many social problems. Daniel Golden.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Life, liberty, and property do not exist because men have made laws. On the contrary, it was the fact that life, liberty, and property existed beforehand that caused men to make laws in the first place. Frederick Bastiat.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
Warning: Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis. Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of 6 homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
Welcome back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you joined us this morning. In Greenville, it's 49 degrees. It's going to be partly cloudy skies, getting worse all day. Actually, going to have thunderstorms in the afternoon and severe weather tonight. 54 degrees should be the high, daytime high, so a little bit chilly today. If you're getting ready to go to work, you might want to bring your coat with you, at least a light coat to keep the rain off, and because it's just not going to be very warm or pleasant on this second day of spring. The research staff also sent up something interesting today. I just wanted to mention before I go on to the Terry Schiavo case, which I think is just a very important issue to bring up ethically and otherwise. But Chuck Baldwin wrote, Chuck Baldwin, the famed lawyer who was the former vice presidential candidate for the Constitution Party, he says in his recent column, packaged news or propaganda. Reuters News recently reported President Bush said on Wednesday, March 15, 2005, that the U.S. government's practice of sending packaged news stories to local television stations was legal, and he has no plans to cease it. His defense of the packages, which were designed to look like television news segments, came after they were deemed a form of covert propaganda by the Government Accountability Office watchdog agency. GAO, an arm of Congress, said this ran counter to appropriation laws and was a misuse of federal funds. Skipping down through his comments, the proliferation of the Clinton-Bush packaged news policy signals the beginning of the end of the free and independent media, especially television media, in this country. Duh. Well, I shouldn't say that. You're just pointing it out to the people that don't know, Chuck. I appreciate that. We already knew that, though, on the Tyranny Response Network. Anyway, obviously this does not bode well for the maintenance of liberty. Very true. Well put, also. Virtually every repressive regime of history was first able to obtain control of the nation's major media outlets. After all, if one can control the flow of information, he or she can control the minds and actions of the citizenry. It now appears that our federal government is beginning to do this very thing. We learn that many media outlets are actually running the federal government's packaged news without revision. Incredible. Also problematic to an objective and independent press is the fact that today's media elite come from the same circle of power from whence come most of our political elite. They graduate from the same colleges and universities, are members of the same fraternities and clubs, and share the same group of friends and business partners. Well, interesting stuff. He's skipping on a little bit further. Unfortunately, the media are not the only ones who refuse to report the facts objectively. Conservative spokesmen such as Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity, that should be able to be called neoconservative, and he has it in quotation marks, conservative, are every bit as culpable as the major media at hiding or ignoring the truth. As a result, there is precious little objective, unbiased investigative reporting going on today. The only exceptions to this general rule are the internet and certain usually smaller and underfunded independent talk radio shows. That would include us, Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben on the Tyranny Response Network. He says, continues on, the problem with good objective independent good talk radio programs is that they are usually only found in smaller markets and subsist on meager budgets, which make it difficult for them to reach mass audiences. Yes, that is our problem here at TRN, but you can help solve that problem. We're here devoted to the cause and dedicated to the truth. Appreciate Chuck Baldwin's comments this morning. If you can support TRN, go to the homepage, www.policyofliberty.net. Find out what you can do. Scroll down and find out what you can do to help support our great ministry and efforts here at TRN. Before I move on to the Terry Schiavo incident, just wanted to give a couple of kudos out there for my three homeschooled sons, one of whom is sitting here producing the show today. Last night, they were awarded with high ranks at the Eagle Scout, the Boy Scout Board of, or Court of Honor. I'm getting all my terms mixed up. Court of Honor. Oldest son, Joshua, kudos to him, received his Eagle Scout patch. Wanted to congratulate him for that great accomplishment at age 16. And Daniel and David, ages 14 and 15, achieved the rank of Life Scout. Good work, homeschoolers, to my boys and all of you other homeschoolers out there who participate in scouting or other great civic activities. Keep up the good work. We win eventually. We know that. But one way we can even win the battle here in America is when we're pulled out of the public school and our kids become highly educated because they are educated home with a Christian worldview and are able to incorporate activities such as scouting in a godly or God-driven, God-focused troop. Like my boys have been. So congratulations to them for all their hard work and dedication. Did a great job, guys. All right. We have a number of things coming up on the Terry Schiavo case that were not are not widely known because of the modern media bias. Pastor John Weaver has been sending some stuff around that he's encountered on the internet. Of course, John Weaver, one of the men who's going to be speaking at the Southern History Conference in a couple of weeks here in Greenville. John Weaver is a theonomist, but does a great job of presenting American history as it should be presented and promoting the ideals of liberty and truth in America. I really appreciate Pastor John Weaver for all of his efforts. And he's setting out some information that he's found on the internet that is very important when we're discussing this Terri Schiavo incident. He says, and this source says, they never spoke of this, yet now Michael claims Terry's wish to die of starvation and dehydration, and the infamous Judge George Greer rubber stamps it. Why? A case for criminal investigation of Michael Schiavo. First point. Nurses' testimony. Heidi Law, Carla Sawyer-Iyer, Carolyn Johnson have been ignored and dismissed without hearing. Each testified that Michael was abusive to Terry and may have attempted to kill her by insulin injection and attempts to induce pneumonia by turning the thermostat in her room to 64 degrees. Michael Baden, top forensic pathologist in the country, and interviewed on Fox News National Television broadcast on October 25, 2003, on Terry's bone scan and injury, stated that A, Terry's injuries are not consistent with a heart attack, no cardiac evidence to support it. B, extremely rare case for potassium imbalance on women her age and in her good health. C, injuries are consistent with severe trauma caused by a beating. D, the injuries in medical records warrant an immediate investigation. Point three, Dr. William Hamsfar, Nobel Prize nominee and neurologist, testified that Terry's neck injuries are consistent with the only one type of injury, that of strangulation. Point four, Terry's doctor, Dr. Gambone, resigned. He had previously testified Terry would die within a few days of starvation dehydration. Terry has an obvious will to live. Fifth, Michael has enlisted the services of a new doctor, Stanton Tripoitis, who have five malpractice suits against him. Clearly, Michael is attempting to provide substandard care for his wife. Sixth, Michael is committing adultery, living with another woman who's already born one child with another on the other way, thereby creating obvious conflict of interest as guardian. Michael, seventhly, has committed both perjury, two counts, and insurance fraud by promising to provide care and therapy for his wife in exchange for the court award of $1.2 million in 1993. No care has ever been provided to Terry. Eighth, Michael Schiavo has also prevented Terry from undergoing a barium swallow test, a procedure necessary to ascertain the consistency of foods taken by the mouth. Ninthly, co-conspirator George J. Fellows conspired with Michael Schiavo to arrange for Terry's free stay at the hospice Woodside as part of an exit protocol designed to advance Fellows' self-perceived messianic mission of helping incapacitated people die by categorizing them as terminal, warehousing them and depriving them of therapy and rehabilitation services. Tenthly, investigate insurance company established in January 2001 at the home of Michael Schiavo and his girlfriend, fiancée Jody Santonsi, Jurger and Santonsi Insurance Agency Incorporated. Michael is listed on the board of directors for the corporation. Note, insurance is deliberately misspelled in the state of Florida corporation filing, possibly to avoid investigation. Eleventhly and finally, Michael continues to deny Terry the right to receive Holy Communion as part of her Catholic and civil right. Terry was a battered wife, perhaps. Well, this is very interesting news. If true, these are all allegations. You never know about the internet what things are true or not. But since Pastor Weaver has been sending them around, I give them a little bit higher status than other things you might just find on the internet. I don't know if any of you have a comment or question you can make about the Terri Schiavo case. I would love to be more informed about this. If some of you know something about it, I'm sure our listeners would as well. Be sure to give a call to the show, 864-201-6955. Right now, we're running a little bit late for our break, so we're going to go jump to a quick break. This is Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
The people never give up their liberties, but under some delusion. Edmund Burke.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast. But we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate or work for a company with bad paper, that is, non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NPPros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS as in professionals, your non-profit professionals, that's NPPros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
In Common Sense, Thomas Paine writes, "Could we take off the dark covering of antiquity pertaining to the origin of kings and of the state and trace them to their first rise, we should find the first of them nothing better than the principal ruffian of some restless gang, whose savage manners or preeminence subtly obtained him the title of chief among plunderers, and who by increasing in power and extending his depredations overawed the quiet and defenseless to purchase their safety by frequent contributions."
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
I want to be on the air? Hey, this is the Christian Worldview. Welcome back to the show. We had just a caller we were talking to during the break named Bob. Bob, are you still with us by any chance? I think...
Sure.
Okay, Bob, sorry to put... I just wanted to confirm. You said you were talking about a plane going down, and you'd sent an email to the show. I'm sorry I hadn't been able to get that email. I usually get all my email. Not sure if it went into my junk file or not, but tell us quickly, what plane went down, and what are you referring to?
This was on 9/11, Flight 93, that was shot down over Pennsylvania, and everybody thought, the news media thought it was a crash.
Oh, you'd called in last week, and we talked about this briefly, I think, on Friday. I do remember there were two different crash sites, and you were talking about the engine being shot off and landing two miles away. And I'd asked you, well, how does a missile, just out of curiosity, how does a missile blow up and only knock off the engine and leave the wing intact? And we had talked about that. Isn't that correct?
Correct, and you had asked for more information, and that's the reason I sent you the email with the various web pages, and I wanted to confirm, since I hadn't heard you mentioning it, that you actually got it, and you asked that more information be given off. But really, the point that was being made is just the one that you were making a few minutes ago, is the absolute control of the government over the media. Now, there is some speculation, and I hate to get into these conspiracy theory things because you don't know which way they're going to go and how much validity there is. But there's also rumor that all the medias, the people who own the medias, belong to a group that a lot of senators and presidents belong to called the... poor old mine, he's just not going to get said. Foreign Affairs, Council of Foreign Relations, or something like that.
Right.
And whether or not that everybody can belong to this doesn't necessarily mean that there is a conspiracy to overtake the media, but it does seem to be a little unusual that virtually every television, newspaper, radio, the groups, the ones that you mentioned, that are Clear Channel, that the others belong to a group of Council on Foreign Relations. Now, I've been to the webpage, and the amount of control that they have is phenomenal, that they can say on their own webpage that they put their offices strategically placed so that leaders and lawmaking individuals in various countries can go into their office. How much power can you have that you can get a congressman or a vice president or somebody to come into your office. That's a lot of power. That's a lot of clout. And by controlling the media, of course, is one way to do it. So if you use the little bits and pieces like a murder mystery or something like that, you can put together things and come up with questions, not necessarily the correct answers. But it does seem to be that there's some very serious problems going on.
Well, we appreciate those comments. Again, I don't know if you were listening to the show yesterday, but Chuck had sent an email praising your comments on Friday, thinking, yeah, this is absolutely what I've seen. And Chuck's a regular listener and thought the same thing, that the media had been controlled. And this morning, the research staff from TRN had set me up this thing we just read on the show the air recently about Bush and Clinton packaging the news and it going unedited, essentially, to the major networks who just basically read it and giving the government a lot of control. So what you're saying is being confirmed. It's confirming a lot of our suspicions. Whether or not it's run by the Council on Foreign Relations or the Trilateral Commission or the Club of Rome or any of these other nefarious groups, notwithstanding. But I'd like to know, we're going to take a quick break. If you can stay on, if you have an answer for this question about what you'd sent on the email about why there were two different crash sites and how the engine could be separate, I think our listeners would be interested to know. If not, that's fine. But we're going to take a quick break, and if you want to hold on, Bob, that's fine. We'll talk to you right when we get back on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media, Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
We have the rights as individuals to give as much of our own money as we please to charity. But as members of Congress, we have no right so to appropriate a dollar of public money. Congressman Davy Crockett.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain speaking. We want to thank you for flying TRN Airways. Now, if you'll just look out of your left side window, you can see the dense clouds of liberal lunacy commonly polluting the airwaves. On the right side, you can see clear skies full of common sense, liberty-minded conversation. Now, as we enter the Christian worldview airspace, we'll be experiencing clear-headed thinking and will soon be reaching logical conclusions. Feel free to recline your seat and enjoy the remainder of the flight. And thank you for flying TRN Airways.
The law of non-contradiction. The same thing cannot at the same time both belong and not belong to the same object and in the same respect. Aristotle.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
Exciting show today here on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. You're in the last segment of the show for Tuesday, March 22nd, the second day of spring. And we're glad that you've joined us. Talked about a lot of interesting topics today, ranging from Terry Schiavo to the infiltration of government and control of the media, to revolution and the war for American independence. A lot of discussion about even things including owls in northwestern Minnesota, environmentalism. So good discussion today, good topics. And we still have Bob on the line here with us talking about this very interesting aspect of the cover-up, possibly, of Flight 93 being shot down by a missile rather than crashing as a result of people with box cutters going into the cockpit and then being there being a struggle with some of the passengers, the flight going down. Bob had some evidence he found on the internet and elsewhere that showed the engine crashed 2 miles away from the plane. And this could only have happened, he said, if a missile had hit the engine and knocked it off. So, Bob, if you can give us some more details on how that could happen, we'd really appreciate it.
Well, actually, I didn't need the internet for that because originally I was from Pennsylvania, and the newscasts up there were different at the time of 9/11. There was a lot more information. The locals knew more than, of course, the rest of the country would know. The rest of the country getting their feeds from the national news. But the fact is that not only was there the engine did land several miles away from the fuselage, but there was debris from the plane, papers and whatnot, that was as much as 10 miles away from it. Now, there was also various witnesses who saw a white military plane in the area. None of this has ever made the national news. None of this was ever was reported. However, there's plenty of information available on the internet if anybody's interested in finding out more information about it. I am going to forward that email to you again so that you'll have those sites, but one would be PA Highways, that's PAHIGHWAYS.com, features Shanksville HTML. Shanksville, of course, is the town in Pennsylvania. That would be one place to start, but rather than to try to get all of those different sites, if you would just go to Google or Yahoo or whatever and type in Flight 93, then it'll give you a whole bunch of things that's pertaining to it. You'll find that there's the information that's really pertinent to the crash site is not the same thing that you're hearing on the national news. And it just doesn't make good sense. It's not logical that people can bring down a plane with box cutters. And the plane didn't come in as a smooth landing or whatever and crash. It was flipping over and over. This was witnessed by people. Why was it flipping? Well, again, if you lose a wing, one of the engines, that of course would happen. But also, it seems that there was probably a hole in the fuselage in the beginning, because that would be consistent with the fact that the reports of how people were talking on the telephone, but up to 6 minutes prior to the actual crash, it got quiet.
It's all very interesting information. I'm just so curious. I would like to know some details. Maybe another listener will know how a missile can hit an engine and not knock out the wing at the same time. And secondly, if it knocks a hole in there, and there's actually two missiles fired, why can't we get a hold of the pilot? I mean, why wouldn't that pilot feel some misgivings, for instance, or guilt? Or something, and be willing to talk? Or has he been killed by somebody already? I mean, what's the story? Or other people had to know if it was really a military strike. Now, I'm not saying it wasn't a military strike, understand me. I want to know more about this, and I think we're just getting the surface details here. It seems to me, if this truly happened, that the United States shot down this jet, the government did, I want to know why they would do it, to what advantage there is to cover it up, and also how in the world they've been able to cover it up, why no one else has come forward with information, specifically the pilots of the fighter jet and so forth. But anyway, Bob, we've run up to the end of the show today, so I'd appreciate it if you could think about some of those things and possibly call us back later on, maybe on another show. But really do appreciate the information and being a good watchdog for us and pointing out the discrepancies between what the national media produce and show us and what actually happened in local circumstances. So thanks again for the call, Bob. We look forward to talking with you again.
My pleasure.
It's been a great show today on Christian Worldview. We're happy to
be back. I'll do that now.
Okay, thanks,
Thank
Bob.
You very much.
We'll be happy to have you back soon on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Until tomorrow, God bless and look forward to seeing you then.
You've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben on TRN. Join us again tomorrow morning right here at 97.7 FM on the Tyranny Response Network for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben with Integrity Group. Let's consider Christian stewardship in terms of financial planning, saving, eliminating debt, lessening the burdens that can accompany a serious illness or accident. One of the most important reasons that we acquire life, disability, and long-term care insurance is because we want to love our neighbors as ourselves. After all, what kind of testimony do we give if we actually plan to rely on the charity of others? If we love others, especially our church and family members, we should do careful financial planning. Some Christians have 401k plans that need to be rolled over into a better investment alternative. Still others need to protect their wives and children by purchasing some inexpensive life or health insurance. At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service. As an independent financial planning firm with a wide range of products, we're here to help you become a better financial steward. Find out about our many services at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.